Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, welcome. We're going to get into the Word of God now, and we're on this series called Living It. We are exegeting parts of the book of Acts, which is the present day reality of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that He is alive, and the wonderful, powerful working of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Last Sunday, it was a pleasure to bring you the story of Ananias being called on by God to go and pray for Saul, who was prayed for, and then God restored Saul's sight. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he went on, and as you know, he changed the world. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by not Saul, but Paul, as we know him. And so as we continue in this passage, we're going to actually, it's changing gears in Acts chapter 9, away from Saul over to Peter. But there is a little passage about a woman named Dorcas. And in this little passage, I'm going to read it now. We're going to go to Acts 9, verse 36. We're going to see something that just grabbed hold of me and spoke to my heart. And in Acts 9:36, it says that there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which is the Aramaic word for the Greek word Dorcas. And it says she was full of good works. And this is how, as I was reading this and going through this, and really wanted to get into Acts chapter 10, but I didn't want to leave this because I think it's very important to every New Yorker. Every New Yorker whose heart is set upon God and Jesus Christ. I think this is a passage for us. And it says that she was full of good works and acts of charity. Now, the rest of the story goes on. She fell ill. She died. They sent for Peter. Peter came and he responded and he went with them. And he walked into the room where so many people were weeping and crying and pouring out their hearts. Why? Because Dorcas passed away. You begin to get an insight into her life when you see that it says that they were weeping and showing the tunics and the garments that she had made for the people with her own hands. And then it says, Peter took the unbelieving outside. He prayed for her. God raised up Dorcas from the dead, which is amazing. It's like we think about Jesus in that category, but my goodness, God is still in the business of raising the dead, even physical raising of the dead. God can do anything. I know that you know that. And I hope that you believe that. And sometimes we pray along those lines as well. So this was a wonderful miracle in Joppa. And it says that when it happened, it became known all throughout the city. This port city, I've been to Joppa many times, and it says that many people began to believe in the Lord. Now, that was an incredible view of her life right there. And I wanted to go back and park on that. I normally keep moving, but this is just, I think it's just too important. First, it says explicitly that Dorcas was a disciple of Jesus. It said the same thing last week about Ananias. It's God gets things done through his disciples. And I think that's a great word for you and I to take on, that we ourselves are disciples of Jesus. I'm not a disciple of Every Nation. I'm not a disciple of the Baptist. I'm not a disciple of Jewish believers in Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus himself. And you are as well. If you are a follower of Jesus and you want to be used by Jesus to advance Jesus's kingdom. And it means disciple, the word just simply means a disciplined follower of Christ. And then when you begin to get into the definition, we know that disciples also are those who engage society, engage the world, and make other disciples. So you're not really truly a disciple unless you're making other disciples. And that's where the challenge comes in. But I want you to look at how Dorcas made it simple. She made it easy. And there's somewhat of a pattern in here that we could follow in her life as we look at her. It says that she was doing good works in verse 36, good works. I begin to dig into the Greek on this because it's significant, because there are two expressions for good works. One is kalos, which means it's looking good, it's charming, it's winsome, it's likable. But then the word that in this book of Acts that Luke is using as he's writing this, he's using a word, agathos, which means that it's morally good, it's of good character, it's not just looking good, but it's virtuous, and it's something that is actually worked into the heart of those who have this, that they become good. Now, you know, when you remember your life without Christ, if you're like me, you weren't good at all. But then God does a work in us and he helps us to be good, where goodness is not just something that is on the outside of us. Hey, you're looking good, you're looking winsome, but it's a good that is part of your fabric. It's on your hard drive. It gets so embedded in you that it just comes out and for Dorcas in her tunics, in the clothes that she made, she worked with her hands to bless people. Her hands were busy doing things that were of service and goodness to other people. And I began to think about this as I looked in this passage, and it brought me to asking two basic questions, and I just couldn't get past it in this passage reading about how good of a person she was. You know, we tend to say, oh, he's a good old boy, or yeah, she's a good gal. And we're describing something on the outside or that's good, it's winsome, it's likable, it's even somewhat of a model, but there's a deeper good that God wants in our lives. And Dorcas was full of this level of goodness that made her different. And so here are the two questions that just riveted me, and they were very simple questions. But number one, why are there seemingly so few disciples like Dorcas? And the second one is, what will it take that more of us, more disciples, can be more like Dorcas? And so, because she's so different, and the people were weeping and crying, and it wasn't just because their friend had passed away. It wasn't just that, it was more. It was because of the good deeds that she did had riveted and touched lives in such a unique way. And that's what I want. I want to touch more lives. So I began to think about this, and I have three thoughts that I think may be able to help us. And I can't get a show of hands right now through this platform, but how many of you, just raise your hand anyway, how many of you want to be more like Dorcas, that when you pass away, there's going to be a line of people all around your coffin or where you passed away or whatever to say, and weeping and crying, this person made an impact on my life. That's what life's about. Impacting others, making disciples, making a difference, adding value to people. So I have three quick thoughts. Number one is that we need to think differently about ourselves. I think the first and most important, perhaps, is that we begin to see ourselves like God sees us. That we don't see ourselves through our defeat, our failures, our selfishness, our narcissistic years, that we see ourselves as God describes and calls us. And I think the first thing that I want to say that has changed my life is when God told us through his word that he loves us. When you know the love of God and you've experienced the love of God and you bank on the love of God, you lean into the love of God, it's a game changer. And the scripture tells us in Romans 8:32 that he who did not spare his only son, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how much more will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God wants to give you all things. He's proven it by already giving his son. And I think God gives to us as we're ready to receive from him whatever it is that he has for us. And I think that a lot of times we need to see ourselves differently. We need to see that we are people of blessing, not just that we're blessed, but we're a blessing to other people. I think it's a viewpoint. I think there's more inside of you than you ever could be aware of, that God lives inside of you. The kingdom lives inside of you. The word of God is in your heart. That there is so much inside of you that God wants to get it out of you to touch the world around you. Maybe not the whole world, but the world around you. It begins in your family, but then it begins to spread from there. And thinking differently to me means that I believe that I can be a blessing to other people. Every day, I believe that. It's a belief that's now on my hard drive. And it's a way, it's a different view of myself. I don't see myself as needy. I have seen my, felt that way before. I don't see myself as pitied or pitiful. I don't have self-pity. Now, I'm prone to all of that, but I have chosen to believe that I should see myself the way God sees me. And if God calls me blessed, which He does many times in Scripture, then I'm going to receive that and say, I'm blessed. But I don't stop there. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm not just a consumer, I'm a giver. I'm not just one who receives, I give. And what comes in, it also, freely I've received, freely I give. That's the first thing, is seeing yourself as one who is adding value to other people. And I think there's three things that you need to know about you. Number one, God sees you as valuable. Number two, God calls us important. Why? Because He gave us gifts to bless the world, gifts and talents to bless others. So you're important. Do you know we need you? I need you. We need you. Your family needs you. Your friends need you. Your workplace needs you. And thirdly, you're worthy. And that's sometimes hard for people to swallow who've had a rough life, a rough past life. But God says you're worthy because He loves you. You're not worthy because you're great. You're worthy because God is great. And that's how He's ascribing His greatness over to you. He made you. He gave you gifts and talents. And now He calls us valuable. He calls us important. And He says, we're worthy. I love a quote from Winston Churchill who said, we're all just worms, but I do believe I am a glowworm. I like that. Good sense of self-esteem there. And God does not want you to be ashamed of the blessing that He's brought in your life, the gifts, the talents, the greatness about you. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of the blessing, the things that He's given you. If God gives them to you, you don't need to be ashamed of it. One time somebody gave me a very, very, very nice and expensive watch. It was a Rolex, a watch that I would probably swore at some time. I will never have a Rolex. I would never even want to have a Rolex. But somebody valued me because of the service that I gave to this person's family over the years and even a decade or more. And he said, there's one thing I want to do. And he took off this, and I thought he took off that watch and he put it on mine. I said, oh, that's nice. I'm sure you just hawked it somewhere. It's probably a fake. And I didn't know what to say. And I was kind of just partly joking, but also like, he's probably just a fake watch. And he said, it's real. And God wants you to know that He loves you. And this is just a token. It's all it is. Now, we don't want to get stuck on that because there are so many more important things than that. But God still wants you to know that even in the little things that are tokens, they point to a greater thing. And that is, God is your Father, and He's going to often do for you what you would never do for yourself. He will give you things you would never buy for yourself. We should never talk about what we can afford and can't afford. We should talk about who we are as a child of God, thinking and viewing the world differently. I don't know if you've heard of the man, he's on all over the internet. It's Nick Voychuk. And Nick Voychuk does not have any limbs. He does not have arms nor legs. And his story is just unbelievable. I had the pleasure and the privilege about 2 months ago of meeting him online and having a conversation. He just had twins. I talked about my twins. He talked about his. But here's a man that lost all hope. But through God, he found how he has purpose in life and to go spread the good word all over the world. And I was just instantly so inspired by him. And I'm inspired by you when you don't give up and you don't cave in. Others are inspired by your life when you don't give up and you don't cave in, but you see yourself as worthy, as valuable, as important, and as one who has something to give. You have something to give to the world, and don't be ashamed. Secondly is pray differently. I want to encourage you to pray differently. When you see yourself as becoming one like a disciple like Dorcas, that she was constantly giving, constantly blessing. When you see yourself that way, you begin to act differently and you begin to pray differently. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power of God that is at work within us." That's a wonderful scripture, and it's one of my lifelong theme scriptures, and it is the same for my wife, Lynette. We love that word, and we stand on that word, and it helps us to pray bigger. Why should we pray bigger? Because God is big. Why should we stop and just praying for ourselves or praying for the little things? Like, give us this day our daily bread. That's an important prayer, and I value that, but we don't stop there. Then we pray, "Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We pray for bigger things. We pray for forgiveness. We pray that the whole world can be saved. We pray for our communities to be improved. We pray for the poor around the world and those who are enslaved and captives around the world. We just had an event last night for those who were from China and the Uyghur people in China, and how many of them have just disappeared and others are being forced to lose their culture and even lose their lives. A very sad, tragic thing. I'm just thankful that God has blessed me that I could step in and get involved, as many of you already have, if not for that, for so many other things. I want to encourage you. We don't live for ourselves. We live to give, and that's who we are. And so we pray to God that God would pour out his blessing on us, that we could pass it on to other people. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, this is also an important theme in our lives. Paul says that God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having, first off, all grace, secondly, all sufficiency in all things and at all times, that you may abound in every good work. That's Dorcas. That's what she did. We really can't do good works without all of God's grace, all of God's sufficiency, all the time and in every way, in every situation. And I think that this is something that we need to pray to step into. We need to think differently, but we need to pray differently. Let's pray that our lives begin to align with that scripture right there, that we would find that God is more than enough in our lives. We would find that God is Jehovah Jireh to us, that God is our provider, that God helps us to step into bigger things, that we can pray broader and bigger things. We've been praying for our regathering of our church, and we've been praying through the summer, God, open a door that we could have a space where we can meet and publicly praise God and worship God and regather and get back together, because being together is an important quality that God calls us to as believers in Christ. We're not to forsake the assembling together. And wouldn't you know, this week we get the call from the Department of Education has allowed the local school where we've been meeting over the past couple of years, or you know, before COVID, we've been meeting there, and it's a wonderful place. It's a great location. It's absolutely a fantastic place, and God has granted us favor. And the doors open, and we'll be meeting there again. I was so thankful for that. We're not just praying like, "Lord, we don't have a meeting place, and Lord, look at us. We're so humble, or we're so hurting, or whatever." No, we tap into God's abundance. God, we know that you have a provision for us. And one of the blasts for me, one of the significant moments of the prayer call that we've had, is how many times God has answered our prayers, because he's a big God and he wants us to rise up and pray big prayers with our big and our wonderful and our amazing God. The third and the final point of Dorcas' life that inspires me, and I think that we need to rise up to, is not just thinking differently. And thoughts can destroy you. You know that. And thoughts can inspire you to live a certain way. But we want to think according to what does God say about us. Secondly, we want to pray big prayers. And thirdly, the third point is that we want to act differently. We want to act and go down a path of acting and living differently. Live to give, like Dorcas. Live and find. Here's a core value of my personal life. It's one of the things on my list that I want to do every day of my life. There are certain things that are in my everyday short list. And one of those is that I want to bless somebody in the world every day. One person, minimal, every day. I want to make a difference in their life. You might say, well, I don't have a lot to give. And I never thought of it that way in giving things to every person. That does happen sometimes, and it happens regularly. But I think that the main thing that I have to give is my ears, my heart, and my attention. I don't do that very well every day when I'm tired and come home and I'm exhausted or whatever. And maybe you don't either, but let's just try to think, how can I be of service and value to one person every day of my life? I was able to take a homeless person to lunch the other day. It just worked out. Got off the train right there. They wanted money. I said, I don't give money, but what do you need? I need food. I'm hungry. Would you like for me to take you to lunch? I'm not passing that on as making myself like, am I not amazing or whatever? I'm simply letting you on the inside because I'm not amazing, frankly. But I am a child of God, and I've received so much from God, and I'm so blessed, and I'm tired of being ashamed of anything that God's done for me. I just receive it as who He is and giving it back to the glory of God. That woman was so blessed, and so she felt honored and dignified. That's just a small thing. It might be that you start in your own family, right in your own home, right there in your own workplace. It might be that you spend time with someone. It might be that you buy someone something. For Dorcas, it was using her hands and making things for people. When's the last time you've received a handwritten note from someone? There are a couple people in our lives that write us notes, and I'm telling you, it blesses me. People don't do that very much anymore. They shoot a text. What is it going to take for us to be really extraordinary in some people's lives? Not a whole lot more. Being yourself is huge, but just one more little step. There's an evangelist in Pakistan, and she was traveling on foot, village to village. And a friend of mine said, I want to help the female evangelist who's already started 125 churches on foot. He said, I want to help her. And I said, that's amazing. What would you like to do? And we talked about it. He said, let's buy her a motorcycle. And we were able, by God's grace and provision, to buy this woman a motorcycle. And can you imagine that it was $1,200, and this friend provided the money. And you know who got more blessed? The woman in Pakistan got very blessed because she said, now I'm going to be able to do a lot more, start a lot more churches, reach a lot more people with the gospel. And she's already reached a few thousand people for Christ. But she said, I'm going to be able to do more. And she was really happy, smile on her face, all that. We have video of what happened when she got on her motorcycle. But you know who the most blessed person of all was? The donor, the one who gave. It was a game changer. Now, when you get into psychology and neuroscience, you already know that those who give are happier. There's greater brain. I'm sorry, I don't know the terminology for this, but it fires off positive hormones in your brain when you give. And this is proven. Dr. Harold Koenig, Duke University, showed me the study, and I thought, no wonder I feel so fulfilled in giving instead of just receiving. Receiving's fun too. To receive is great. And I hope you receive a lot. And don't just stop with a little bit. Don't say, oh God, that's a... No. God wants to keep blessing you so it can flow through you. And that study was really encouraging to me to know that, man, that God has designed us, even as the Apostle Paul said, it is more blessed, or the Lord Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's because it makes us happier. Man, we need some happiness right now. I love this thinking about living differently, and I'm so proud of those who live this kind of life and do great things for God. We have a man on the front lines in India named Yezu Padam. And Yezu Padam is a wonderful, he was a an untouchable, a Dalit, a man who is given nothing and considered that his former life was really bad, and so he must suffer his way through this life. And that's a horrible worldview right there. It's terrible. But this man met Jesus, fought his way through, and has ended up just being such an amazing man who has helped influence 7,500 churches in India. And he's built multiple buildings, and he owns a prayer mountain, and he's got many buildings. It's amazing what God can do. But just recently, we were able to purchase as a church a few oxygen concentrators to help them through this difficult season. And they sent us back a story that showed us the power of just being charitable and generous. There was a Christian family in his church that lost three of their family members to COVID. And he said that within a month later, when our oxygen concentrators arrived in that same family, the daughter, the son-in-law, and the granddaughter survived. And so it would have been a loss of six people in one family, but instead it was only a loss of three, and then three more, because of the oxygen, they began to flourish and thrive. What's it going to take for us to make a difference? What is it going to take for us to be extraordinary disciples? I think number one, we need to think differently about ourselves, that we are full of resources, full of talent, full of provision of something, even if it's just your ears or just your tongue or just your writing capability. Little things go a long way in this world. Secondly, we need to also pray differently. We need to pray big, outrageous, bold, crazy. Why? Because God is big. God's not little. God's big. And he wants to work in your framework and show himself mighty and strong. And thirdly, we need to act differently. We need to be generous and think in terms of blessing someone every day of our life. Charity, by the way, is not our tithe. People who give tithes to Jesus through this church, yes, we do a lot of charity, but we do a lot of other things too. And that tithe is sacred to God. God says it's under his hand, or the band, so to speak. It belongs to him. And that's a great way for us to take a step of faith and see ourselves different, that we're people of faith. We're not people who just pay ourselves. We're people of faith. But then everything beyond that is considered charitable, good works, and ends up in good deeds. I think when we live that way and make a difference all around us, we are letting the Holy Spirit rule and reign in our lives in such a way that this world will be shaken, this world will be touched, and this world will be changed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and your hand upon our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the many little stories in Scripture that give us great inspiration. And I pray that every one of us will be empowered to go forth and make a difference in the world around us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.